Live from the nation's capital, it's the Larry King Show, America's favorite talk program. The Larry King Show comes to you via the Mutual Broadcasting System, providing you the opportunity to talk directly with Larry and his guests. Now, radio's most talked about interviewer and the host of our program, Larry King.
Thank you very much, Paul, and good evening, everybody. On this Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, this is Larry King Show from Hawaii to the Virgin Islands, from Canada to Mexico, with you every night, Monday through Friday. Our special guest tonight, the famed Dr. Timothy Leary. We'll talk about mind expansion into the computer age in a moment. Tomorrow night, best-selling novelist Janet Daly will be with us. On Thursday, Daniel Shore, formerly of CBS and CNN, now at National Public Radio, who in July will celebrate his 50th year in journalism. And on Friday night, Ira Burko of the New York Times, who's written an extraordinary biography of the greatest sports writer who ever lived, Red Smith. We're with you on television, of course, every night at 9 Eastern. Larry King live on CNN and Mondays in USA Today. Our new station this week is KCLX in Colfax, Washington. It's good to welcome them aboard, and we welcome to our microphones Dr. Timothy Leary. The last time his name was mentioned on this program was by G. Gordon Liddy. He and Mr. Liddy, are you still debating? Do you still go around the
country? We have some coming up next fall.
It's kind of like an act, right? You go to college campuses like Martin and Lewis.
Well, I think of it like the Celtics or the Lakers or Lincoln and Douglas, the classic...
What is the debate about? What is the title of the debate?
Well, it's the power of the state versus the rights of the individual. And guess who represents...
You represent the individual and living
well,
the state.
Well, I should hope so, yeah. Gordon definitely never had an idea unless it's authorized.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put myself in the opposite camp.
He is, though, a nicer guy than we would have imagined from reading the Watergate days. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Do you know the story? The first time I met him was
no.
Busted me walking in my bedroom at midnight when I was living up in Millbrook, New York. It was a totally illegal raid. He busted me for the possession of peat moss, because we knew they were coming and all that. And then the next time I crossed paths with him, we were both at a federal prison at Treasure Island, rather a terminal island, and then we ended up on the lecture circuit, only in America.
Yeah, but he is a nice guy.
Well, I don't want to say that, Larry.
Come on, say
I'll put him out. He said to me many times, Tim, promise you won't tell people I'm a nice guy because it'll ruin my my income. He thinks of himself as a Darth Vader of the Nixon and Reagan administrations. I don't want to blow his cool.
Don't blow his cool.
He's a terrible, horrible, dangerous person. And for the record.
What is your doctorate in?
Psychology.
And you taught at Harvard?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what this thing you're into now, this computer software, you want to explain that to me?
Yes. For the last 3 years, I've been working on a piece of software. It's actually a book. I wrote 350 pages of paper, but it's all compressed into this little software disk, which you get at your software store. And you come home and you put it in your IBM or your PC.
It's compatible with all the machines?
Yeah. Well, not all machines, but the Commodore and the Apple. And then suddenly on the screen, there are swirling, kind of mystical, mirror-like, neurologically agitating forms. And the screen says, hello, I'm Timothy Leary. Welcome to Mind Mirror. And then the screen flashes with a series of menus. Now, the menus allow you to take any thought you have, and through you type it in, or type two or three thoughts in, and then through psychometric questions, which we hurdle at you, you're kind of dialing and tuning how much of these elements make up the thought that you're talking about. And then on the screen is like an X-ray of that thought, or a CAT scan of that thought, so you can see precisely how you, well, the elements that make up any thought you have, yourself, your mother, Reagan, Gorbachev, the Boston Celtics, whatever the thought is, from sublime to ridiculous. It's the first scientific device for analyzing your own things, like a microscope on your own mind. Now, like a microscope, you have to learn how to use it. But we have beginner exercises, and it takes you by the hand. By the way, Larry, I have to confess that I don't know anything about computers, and this is not a computer-literate mind appliance.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of computers, but it's like a car. I have a car, too. I don't know how many cylinders my IBM has. I couldn't lift up the hood on my Apple and change a tire. And my programs reflect my technological ignorance. All you have to do is answer yes, no, or up, down, or more, or
but
less.
How does it help the purchaser?
It helps you understand clearly what your thoughts are made of. Then you can do two things with it. You can maybe I should give an example. Okay.
Please.
I'll take the obvious first example. Suppose you want to know about how you think about yourself. The thought is self.
Right.
Then let's compare yourself with your ideal self, how you'd like to be. Let's take, for example, a kind of a sad person. The person is sad, timid, low self-confidence. You get the picture. The person would like to be charismatic, confident, outgoing, cheerful, popular. Now, the thought of self and ideal suddenly appears on maps and grids so that you can see that myself is south-southwest and I'd like to be north-northeast. Now, north and south depend upon the dimensions and so forth, but now the question of your life is, you're down in south-southwest, and you want to get to where you are in north. Now, by the way, on intelligence, on creativity, on wealth, on health, I may be right close to my ideal. So I see exactly the three or four places where I want to change. Now, what good does that do? Well, at least we have taken the concept of how you want to change and made it as simple.
So you focus on the map as
yeah,
to how far
it's like getting from L.A. to Boston.
Okay. Do you also tell me how to get there?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked. No, there's no telling. There's no little Freud in this box that comes out and scolds you in a Viennese accent. Well, you must do this and that. A good mirror, as Cocteau said, is just like a good friend reflects back, honestly, what's there. But to help you do something about it, the major part of the program is made up of life simulations. We have 3,200 life events. And you are going to play the part, say, of how you'd like to be. So you can send yourself off on any one or series of 3,200 life events in which you're practicing how to be confident.
In other words, you give me one of 3,200 life situations?
I don't give it to you. You have menus, and you can decide. You want to be first day of school, your first party.
And then I type in my response to this?
No, you never type in anything. You simply move a little mouse around, or you say yes or no, or you move it. It's always options. You don't have to type
it. It's not complicated.
Yeah. Let me give you an example. No, it's very simple.
Hold it right there. What's the name of the program, by the way?
Called Mind Mirror. And it's published by Electronic Arts in San Mateo. Electronic Arts is an amazing group of electronic visionaries. They design software for the home computers. And they're wonderful people. They're this new generation of young people that have come through the 60s and the 70s. They're extremely intelligent. They know electronics. They know business. And above all, they have this vision that we can use computers not just to crunch numbers, not to balance your checkbook, not just to word process like a glorified typewriter. We can use computers and software as thought processors, as ways of communicating with each other more effectively.
Our guest is Dr. Timothy Leary, who has a new software program out, I guess available in all the computer type stores and the like, called Mind Mirror. Okay, we have all these life situations and we're dealing with self, but what happens?
We remember our poor fellow that was depressed. He's clever, he's rich, but he's depressed and he doesn't have any confidence. So we have him play his ideal in any one of 3,200 life situations. It can be his first day at school. What does he do when the bully comes up and says, I'm Rambo, wimp, move over? You have four choices. Does he run away and cry? Or obviously, if he's going to play his ideal, he'd charm Rambo and be, or maybe you're a sperm or an egg in the fallopian tube. What do? Are you a Woody Allen sperm saying, oh, I don't want to go? Well, you won't be. I don't care if a sperm or an egg. I want to get
so
out there.
You answer these.
Yeah, and every time you answer it,
talking to the
every
mind.
Time you answer it, your response is scored on a sonar, radar, navigational grid, so you can actually watch your thoughts moving towards where you want to be. Now, there's an endless series of psychological empathy things you can do. You can play Nancy Reagan in a Salvation Army. You can play Jesse Jackson at the Republican Club. You can play Ayatollah Khomeini in his first date in the back seat of a car.
So you can have fun with this.
Fun? You're putting yourself in another position? Oh, listen.
The total purpose being what?
This is the first tool, we think, that our species has had to help you clearly see how you're thinking. And I haven't even told you about how you can use it in interplay. I've been telling you about how one person can do it. You can hit one menu choice, Larry, and it's called interplay. Up to four people can sit around and decide how we see each other. This is for fun. We can do celebrities, you can do sports, you can do thrilling things like you can compare Jesus or Buddha or Mohammed or Jerry Falwell. There's one aspect of this which is very exciting. We call it the Marvin Mitchelson special. The husband can do the wife as he sees her, and his ideal wife. And then he goes out of the room, and the wife does the husband and the ideal husband. That can be quite thrilling.
This could be a big hit. Designed also to improve communication in the last case.
You've got it.
How tough was it to program?
I don't know anything about programming. When you write a book, and I've written 24, it can be a very lonely operation. You can be in your quiet room typing, and then you send it off, and that's the end of it until you go on the author tour. But with a computer software program, it's a team play.
What do you do? I design it, and I write it,
and then we have teams of programmers and of graphic people, and the next programmers will actually have sound people that can put my voice or your voice on it. It's like making a movie.
And then you play it or use it?
Mm-hmm.
Test it in all facets?
Yeah, it has to be. Electronic Arts has a team of people that have played my program hundreds and hundreds of hours. The program, you know, when you do a computer program like this, it's an enormous realm of I have not myself played all the aspects of this. And also, we have built into the program little surprises we call them mind bombs. That suddenly some funny things will happen, that the system will go down, and then it'll ask you, what are you going to do about it? Surprises, CIA plots. There are some versions, some areas, some dark little funny rooms in there. They're not X-rated. The program, by the way, is PG-16.
Okay, as a free soul, did you approach this as a resistor of the computer?
Yeah. I was totally computer phobic. I hated computers until about 3 years ago when I was, if you excuse the expression, turned on or booted up by some close friends of mine. Before that, I felt computers were another technique by top management to isolate us and
What changed your mind?
Well, three people really corrupted me. They're my son, Zachary, who's now 12. He was then 9. He's probably listening tonight. And my granddaughter, Deidre, and my grandson, Ashley. On Saturday afternoons, it was my custom to take them out to Dodger Stadium or to Anaheim to watch baseball, but they made me go to video arcades. This is about 3 years ago. And you know what dens of iniquity they are. The Surgeon General, Everett Koop, said that video arcades, they ruin the body and the soul. I'm not glad to know that he's looking after a soul. Mm-hmm. And after hanging around video arcades with Zachary and Ashley and Deidre, I began getting curious, and I put in a quarter, and then suddenly I realized that these electrons zooming around like space invaders could be ideas. They could be thoughts that you could actually, they could be tools of thinking. And then I've learned how to use computers. My son, Zachary, always teaches me how to do it. As a matter of fact, he's stopped using a computer. About 2 years ago, we have an enormous library now, software, but my 12-year-old son has stopped using computers. You know why? Because he's bored, because there's no software that challenges him. And that's why I'm now writing these programs.
All it is, Doctor, is speed, right?
No.
Oh, you could take all the things you've done and do it without a computer if you wanted to spend hours and hours and hours, right?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
All it is a speed process.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, see, my PhD thesis, which I wrote in 1950 when I was at the University of California in Berkeley, had the same program and the same mind maps, but in those days, you'd have to take checklists and put in templates, and you have to score yourself, and you'd have to do little formulas, and it would take you an hour. Now the computer does it.
Well, because it's so fast and so late, why do we fear it?
Because it's new. And not only is it new, but it's new in the realm of thought. When Gutenberg invented movable type and the personal book, top manager was glad to have you could now print the Bible, and the kings could print their orders. It never occurred to them that people who want to use it to read and write, and you know, peasants like you and I down there in the village would suddenly, because we didn't know the machine language. The machine language which the monks knew was Latin. We were not allowed to do that. They did a marketing study, I'm sure, of Europe, and they said, "Sorry, Johann Noti, there's no market for your software because no one can read and write." But people do fear anything that has to do with the mind, anything that's new.
And you feared it, or didn't like it, or wasn't turned on.
Yeah, I feared it. Yep. But once, and the answer, of course, to that is once you learn how to do it. I must say this, Larry. The breakthrough came 10 years ago, in 1976, when two great saints, Saint Stephen the First and Saint Stephen the Second. You know, barefoot, long-haired kids in a garage in Silicon Valley, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. They didn't invent the personal computer, but they popularized the Apple. And that meant that we in our home, you know, in a sense, a book is a portable microcomputer that you can have at home. That's a wonderful thing. It's only taken 10 years for us to get to this stage, but it's going to change. Education's going to change. It's going to raise the level of our thinking.
We also put a lot of trust in it, don't we? We fly by it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Live by it. Decisions are made off it. The computer is down. Our life is affected.
You're talking about computers in the hands of top management organizations, your bureaucracies. But I'm talking about computers in the hands of the individual. As you probably know, it will come as no surprise to you, Larry, when I tell you that I don't like organizations. I'm one of those people that stay outside of them. I think it's valuable in any society to have people like myself that are looking from the outside in. And I could never work in a big organization where I use a computer. You know, when you check into an airline and there's that poor man or woman punching little things in and you're standing there hoping that you're going to get a smoking aisle or that you won't be bumped, that's an extension of an enormous bureaucracy. But the home computer, in which you're putting your own thoughts there and only you, you know, have access to it, it's the great equalizer, just like the book was a great equalizer.
Let's go back. The program is called Mind Mirror, and we'll be talking more about it. Let's go back a little. You were, for a time, very villainous in this country, I guess, with the LSD situation, and people would be angry about Timothy Leary.
They still are, by the way.
Yeah, but it's tempered somewhat. How are you? In fact, I guess there's young people who wouldn't even know your name, right?
The truth, right?
How did you react to all of that attention?
Well, you remember, just to give a brief historical recap, from the years 1960 to 1963 at Harvard University, we assembled a really brilliant crew of philosophers and psychologists and divinity students and divinity professors studying the effects of psychedelic plants, basically mushrooms and peyote, and then the chemical forms of them. And we felt that this is a wonderful tool to expand consciousness, and if used thoughtfully, would help you get different perspectives. And we were very, very, very enthusiastic about it. And some of the older professors took me aside and said, listen, you're going to get into a lot of trouble, because number one, a lot of people don't want to have consciousness expanded. Number two, the very word drug. We didn't call them drugs. They were neurotransmitters, or they were psychedelic activators. But the word drug carries a tremendous traffic and freight of fear. So it was a great shock to me when suddenly discovered I was unpopular and being set up as someone who was going to bring down
All the things you were doing were under the auspices of the university, though?
For the first 3 years. And then
they were experimentally approved?
Oh, yeah.
And you were thrown out?
Uh-huh.
For?
Well, basically because that kind of research shouldn't be done at a university. It's avant-garde research, and because undergraduates were beginning to use it, we weren't not giving it to undergraduates, and it started circling out. A lot of parents complained because their kids were calling up and saying, guess what, Mom and Dad? I've just had a wonderful revelation. I'm going to leave now and go to India, or I'm going to change my life. And the kid, you know, parents, I was very sympathetic to the authorities. They didn't send their kids to Harvard to become young Buddhas or become rock stars.
You became kind of the guru of this.
I don't like the word guru. As a good Irishman, you know, I don't like that
idea.
Is
LSD a thing of the past now?
I was on a show today in Philadelphia. You know, it's Tuesday, isn't it? And a man named Martin Lee, who's just written a book on LSD, was there, and he said that government statistics say there's as much LSD being used today as there was in the 60s. The eye of the media sees leaving LSD alone. Now you got crack, and you got Nicaragua, and now you got Ayatollah Khomeini, so that
it's not in this week.
Is, yeah.
I understand that Dr. Leary is back now teaching, huh? Where?
Well, you know, I was liquidated from Harvard in 1963, and this summer I'm going to be a visiting lecturer at the California Family Center Training in Burbank, California. I'm going to be teaching Mind Mirror, and it's the first honest job I've had in 20.
You're going to teach it as a course?
I'm going to teach Mind Mirror as a course. They're using it in helping people understand themselves and clarify their minds. And it's wonderful, you see, for family counseling. You get the whole family in. And they can all put their thoughts about each other on the screen and get communicating.
What have you been doing for 23 years?
What have I been doing?
Uh-huh. If this is your first honest job, what have you been doing?
I'm a free agent.
Non-drafted.
Yeah.
I mean, what have you been doing, though?
I write books, give lectures. For about 5 of those years, I had my rent paid by the United States prison
system.
What
did you serve time for?
Possession of 2 roaches, which somehow appeared in my ashtray of my car, which I didn't know about.
And you did 5 years for that? Why? Why so long?
They were pretty mad at me.
For?
Well, for Sam was on my mind and talking about consciousness and drugs, and it was, you remember the 60s, it was pretty,
You had a period there. I guess the worst thing that happened to you was there were some people who committed suicide with LSD, right? The Art Linkletter daughter case and the like.
Well, she actually didn't kill herself. She hadn't taken LSD for 6 months. But yes, there's no question that people got tremendously confused and hurt themselves and killed themselves during that period. How many, we don't know.
How should the society use the psychedelic equipment it has at hand? Ideally, how should the society use LSD?
I testified in 1963 before Teddy Kennedy's committee answering that same question, and I said that psychedelic drugs, which include marijuana, should be totally supervised by the state. That is, quality should be established, and you should have to be trained in how to use them, and they should be prescribed, and if you screwed up, you take your license away. You'd have to demonstrate you knew how to use it, like an automobile.
That sounds very tame today.
Does it?
No.
Yeah.
How does the mind expansion, what did mind expansion do to better people?
You mean the mind expansion of the 60s?
Yeah.
Well, see, the interesting thing is, Larry, that the whole culture is LSD. For example, in the late 60s, we were running these psychedelic light shows in which we were trying to express the color and wonder of the turned-on brain. And these light shows are then taken over by rock musicians, and suddenly movie makers were coming to our shows, and then suddenly Kubrick was making these special effects, and suddenly... I remember when Squirt, the drink, said, turn on to flavor, tune in to bubbles, and turn off the cola habit. I'm using this as an example. Then advertising, multiple images, simultaneity.
We understand all that. What does it do for us?
It has given us, I think America today, American consciousness is much more sophisticated. The average kid today can handle 7, 8, 9 programs, sounds, ideas. It has, the brain, we're told, has 100 billion neurons. Each neuron is the knowledge, information, capacity of an Apple computer. You got 100 billion, I sound like Carl Sagan here, 100 billion Apple computers in your brain. We're not even starting to use our brain unless you can somehow program. And now the brain operates very quickly and flashing, and there would not have been a I would say 90% of the kids that are under the age of 40 who are in computers now, 90% of them have had some kind of experience in brain change or neurotransmission. That's why I may be misunderstood or not liked among certain segments of the country, but computer people really understand where I'm coming from, and they welcome me, and
You'd have been a hero if they were popular in the 60s, right? You'd have done it another way.
Yeah, sure.
Now, do you think time will change our attitude towards you? You think history will perceive you differently than it perceived you in the 60s?
It depends who writes the history.
We all know that the history is rewritten by the conquerors, and it depends who wins this particular chapter of evolution that we're working on. If the forces that are running America now continue, the Christian right wing and the fundamentalists and the militarists and so forth, I will be known as some eccentric footnote of how horrible
it
was.
You think the Christian right wing is running the country?
I said if they do. They certainly are moving into more power. They're certainly on the upswing. And the superstition and the lack of clear thinking that characterized American society is a shock to me when I think in 5 years how our clear thinking to me seems to...
Why do you dislike corporation structure organizations?
I feel there's a law of bureaucracy. There's a law of social organization that inevitably the social organization protects itself. And we all know any bureaucracy is in business mainly to perpetuate itself and keep itself going. No matter how wonderful the bureaucracy is to start with, whether it's a Christian church or whether, I'm sorry to say, many of our democratic institutions fall into this trap, eventually the bureaucracy to please the boss, to cover yourself, to... I went to West Point. I was trained, went to Jesuit schools. I've been at Harvard University. I was 5 years in the Army. I've been in business for 5 years. I've seen bureaucracies in and out. I know how they operate. And we all know that you join the team, and the main function of the team is keep it going. Bureaucracies tend to limit individual initiative, creativity, and above all, change. The bureaucrat wants to keep the ship from, losing course.
The new program is called My Mirror. Its conceptualizer is Dr. Timothy Leary. This is the Larry King Show. We understand in this program printouts. You can print out right on printed sheets as well.
Yeah, you can print out your thoughts, and you can take them to your shrink or to your, put them in your lawyer or whatever.
Let's go to some calls. We'll intersperse questions as we go for Dr. Leary in New York City. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Leary. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine.
That's good. I was wondering if you had tried ecstasy and what you thought of it, and also how you would, or if you would, compare it to LSD.
Yeah, of course, I'm not anxious to talk about drugs a lot, but I know I have to because that's the turf that I've charted out. I have taken ecstasy.
What is ecstasy? I mean, I know what it is, but I don't know it as a drug.
I don't want to pose.
I mean,
as
I know
a,
it as a lifestyle.
Yeah. I don't want to pose as a pharmacologist here. Ecstasy is called MDMA, and it's the drug that became popular two or three years ago. It was legal then. It's a drug which apparently in most people creates a sense of deep empathy. The difference between this and hallucinogens like LSD is that there's no alteration of reality. It's a very clear thinking experience. It was made illegal about 6 months ago, and we're still fighting that case.
Did you enjoy its usage?
Well, my wife Barbara and I came to New York about 8 years ago, and I got the gourmet psychopharmaceuticals that come along, and a doctor that I knew said, "Tim, try this," and Barbara and I tried it, and we were married 3 days later. And
Are you still married?
We're still married, yep.
Looking for ecstasy. Washington, D.C., hello.
Good morning. Dr. Leary, the last time I talked to you was in 1967 at the League for Spiritual Discovery.
Hey, that goes back, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was 36 years old at the time. I'd been doing psychedelics for 3 years, and my love affair with marijuana continued until December of 1984 when I walked into a detention center in Maryland, and there was my son, pale as a ghost, with cigarette burns on his arms.
Oh, boy.
In general, had pretty well wrecked himself. I'll say now that he's got 18 months of sobriety since then.
That's good.
What's the question?
The question is, do you agree that PCP and cocaine have been central to the particularly hellish effect that drug use has had on young people in recent years?
Yeah, you know, I don't know anything about PCP, and I don't know anything about cocaine, my especially back then. You know, 26 years ago, were they relatively gentle psychedelics. So, yes, I think that, and of course, the problem is that these black market drugs, you don't know what PC is. It's made by some jerk in a garage. The cocaine, apparently this stuff is being boiled up with bicarbonate of soda. You don't know what it is. It's
you always, did you not, favored its use, whatever use, under controlled conditions.
Yeah, you should use any drug.
I mean, does this cocaine thing worry you?
You mean the crack thing?
Yeah, the crack, apparent epidemic of it in this country.
Well, let's face it. The major dangerous drug in this country to which 100 times more people are addicted than all the other drugs put together legally is alcohol. And if the government wants to do something, or if moralists want to do something about addiction, lives being ruined, crimes, why not hit alcohol? That's, I think, obvious, and I think...
Austin, Texas, for Dr. Timothy Leary. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Greetings from Austin, Tim.
Hey, I love Austin.
Thanks. I understand that the citizens of Austin this November will vote on whether to legalize the growing of marijuana for personal use. Since Ronald Reagan for years has been promising to get government off people's backs, I was wondering if you had any thoughts as to why the president hasn't spoken out in favor of this initiative.
Yeah, Mr. William Buckley has, by the way.
Yeah. A large number of conservative doctors, lawyers, and columnists like Bill Buckley have, including Louis Neisser, recently, say we should legalize and get real government control of it. Yeah, I'd vote for that referendum in...
Is it going to pass?
Gotcha. Tell us, in Austin...
You think it'll pass, sir?
If people are thinking clearly, I believe it will.
Well, that begs the quote. No, will it pass?
I think it will.
Austin is, of course, pretty
progressive.
It's the most enlightened town, perhaps, in the South.
Minneapolis. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Mr. Lerner, is it true in the book that you once wrote in 1980 that you liked the philosophers Gurdjieff and Aleister Crowley?
It sure is. They taught me a great deal. It's too bad they were born 1,500 years too early.
Okay,
thank you.
They're both great psychologists.
We go to Cape May, New Jersey with Dr. Timothy Leary. Hello.
Dr. Leary, I'd like to thank you for just being you all of these years.
Well, we're trying our best, and it's going to get better.
We need people like you around, especially with the swing to the right this country's taking.
Well, we have just begun. We haven't even, we'll stick around. We're just getting our act together.
Quick question. Do you ever see Richard Alpert anymore?
Yes, I see him quite regularly. He's at the present time living near Boston with his father. He's very happy. He's very influential. He's doing fine.
And the other question is, and it's been years since I've done any psychedelics, I would like to know, you said they altered reality. Do they? I mean, with the things that I saw and the things that I experienced, was that an alteration of reality?
Well, sure, there are hundreds of levels of reality in your brain. Your brain can calibrate probably thousands of levels of reality we haven't even tuned into yet. We haven't even begun our exploration of the realms and mysteries and wonders of the human brain. Yeah, they're all different. I'm not saying one is a real reality. They're all real. In your own life, you know, that when you go to sleep is a different reality. When you're dreaming, when you're making love, when you're... I say no more.
Thank you. You can make love with this machine, too, huh? With my mirror.
Well,
you could take the survey to bed. It's a Woody Allen kind of thing. I could see this as a gag in a movie.
Right.
He and the girl take the machine to bed, the Leary thing.
It's called mind foreplay.
What would you do now? Well, plug it in. San Jose, California. Hello.
Hi, Larry, Mr. Leary. I just wanted to say that compared to the people who were running the Vietnam War in the late 60s and early 70s, I thought you were a moral giant, especially in the academic world. On a scale of 1 to 10, I think you'd be a 1 in terms of your drug chance, but I think the people running the war would be a 0.001. And I just wanted to say, do you think your role now as a kind of a media court jester, along with G. Gordon Lilly, Libby, excuse me?
Well, Gordon and I did our debate, and I hope we entertained people. I hope we provided some thoughts. I might say, by the way, there's nothing wrong with being... making people laugh in a very provocative way. Socrates did it, Lenny Bruce did it, Mort Sahl did it. Matter of fact, some of the great philosophers of all time were those people that...
Mark Twain was
mad. Oh, how about he's my favorite.
Our guest is Dr. Timothy Leary. The software program is Mind Mirror. The caller is from Seattle. Hello. Hello, Seattle.
Come in, Pacific Northwest.
Are you there? I don't hear anything. Do you folks? Okay, Flint, Michigan. Hello.
Morning, Dr. Leary, rather than Ann Leary. How are you doing?
Hi.
Dr. Leary, you said earlier in the show that today an equal number of people use LSD as they did back in the 60s.
I heard that LSD people use nowadays is pushed off as being LSD, but is really PCP because of the difficulty in making the LSD and the supplies are difficult to find. Is that true?
Well, it was the government that said this. I didn't say that. I'm out of the drug. I don't have anything to do with drugs. I'm into something that's much more subversive. Electrons zooming around your mind. I'm quoting a government statistic, which, by the way, on a program where this authority was speaking today about this, a kid called in, I think it was Swarthmore College, and said, yeah, it's true that a lot of people were using it there, but I don't know, and I can't answer your question.
Oh, Leary's in computers now. What's going to happen when you touch your Commodore and Leary interferes with you, friends? We go to Santa Clara, California. Hello.
Larry?
Yeah.
First-time caller, long-term listener.
Hi.
Want to ask Dr. O'Leary what he feels about the efficacy of LSD in personal psychological development in therapy, basically.
Yeah, how effective is
it? When it was legal to do this, many reports said it was extremely effective, but unfortunately no such research has been done in the last 15, 20 years.
What does your gut think?
Yeah, if used correctly, I think it can be very helpful.
For a psychiatrist, psychologist, and a patient?
Yep.
Okay, we go to South Boston, Massachusetts. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I would like to ask Dr. I wouldn't even give him that much. Mr. O'Leary, whatever. How does he account for the lives that were ruined by his LSD in Boston College? I personally know two girls that were twins, and this goes back a few years, that he ruined by his experimentation of giving out in class.
All right, doctor.
Well, I don't know how they were ruined. I'd like to have them
How
here.
Were they ruined?
Yeah, I'd like to hear them say this. I've heard many people...
Hospital.
What?
I don't think they're still out.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. I'd like to see your...
Well, let's put it this way, for the lady's sake. Were you playing a semi-dangerous game in areas where we still have things to learn, and in all progress, there were people who took experimental drugs before they discovered a cure for polio... Somebody took that live vaccine and maybe got polio. Were there people harmed by your experiment?
I mean, no question there were, but not by my experiments. By use of LSD, probably street LSD, yes, no question of it.
But no one you know of in your own.
And I feel very, very sorry that anyone had one moment of suffering or of confusion. On the other hand, I got to put it to you very bluntly. My role in society is the role of explorer. This role has been played by hundreds of people throughout history. Thousands tried it and failed. Christopher Columbus said, go over the sea. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. Orville and Wilbur had their little boat there, and they were sticking together down there in North Carolina. Gosh, hundreds of thousands of people have died every time a plane goes down. I'm sure Orville and Wilbur feel bad about it, but we're talking about a great movement in human history going from back there up to where we're going next. And I'll tell you this, I've gone there, I've made the trip hundreds of times. It can be done. I feel horrible that people were lost. It's part of human evolution.
Were bad trips psychiatrically helpful as well?
Well, you'd have to be, yes.
Supervised.
Yeah, and many, many times we used to say the experiences from which you learn the most were the tough ones. If you just were up there having wild perceptions, that's good. But the tough sessions were the ones where you had to really see with microscopic clarity, what you were hiding or certain things yourself that you didn't want to face.
New York City for Dr. Timothy Leary. I'm sorry, New York City here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to say that my telephone's in New York City, but I don't belong to the world. And
Who do you belong to?
I belong to the light, and the world belongs to darkness.
Oh, I see. I belong to the light twice. What is your question?
Well, I feel...
They got a pretty good basketball team, the light, by the way. Never get enough credit. Go ahead. No, the light beat the Celtics once. Go ahead.
Well... The light doesn't play sports.
You don't know that aspect.
Oh, yeah.
You have not seen the total light.
There's the aspect.
They got a guy named Phil, a point guard.
Oh boy, well.
Maybe the best. Phil.
It's fast, 186 miles a second.
They call him the bulb.
Oh boy.
What's the question, sir?
All right. Well, I'm sure Timothy heard of Miss Bina, and that she brought a very sacred and serious message that the psychedelic, the psilocybin, was called the flesh of God, and she brought the tradition, the ancient tradition of...
Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, let me explain. He's talking about a woman named Maria Sabrina who's in Oaxaca State, and she was the Mexican curandera that was visited by New York banker Wasson, who did the first mushroom, wrote books about it, and wrote articles to magazine and magazine. Henry Luce, who was taking it to an on. Now, this is a story. It's a wonderful story, and she's a great heroine, and I'm afraid she's passed on to the next round, but good for her.
Dallas, Texas, hello.
Yes, Dr. Leary.
Hello.
Yes. How you doing?
Well, I'd love to be on this show.
Quickly, go ahead.
Okay. Some friends of mine and I consider the year 2000 somewhat of an omega point in the evolution of our society. How do you view the next 15 years?
We have 30 seconds to break.
I think they'll be wild and woolly, and they're going to... Everything's going to be changing. It's going to be a great surf-wide wave.
You couldn't predict, though, what the year 2000 will be like, would you? You're not in the prediction center.
I hope we'll be twice as smart and twice as mean.
We'll be twice as large corporate-wise?
Well, I think the trend is decentralization, and more and more younger people are working at home part-time, husbands, wives working. There's not going to be those big factories. They're through.
Our guest is Dr. Timothy Leary in the software program now available from Electronic Arts. Is called Mind Mirror. And we go to Berlin, New Jersey. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Leary.
Hello.
Can you tell me about Bill Wilson, who founded Alcoholics Anonymous? All the experiences with him?
Yes, I met Mr. Wilson when I was at Harvard in about 1962. He told me that he had been, the LSD helped him get cured, and he told me something so fantastic. I don't know, I'll just report what he said. He said, if I were allowed to use LSD, I could clean out the Bowery's of this country in 1 year. Now, that's what he said, but he's did a wonderful thing because he helped people help themselves, and I love that.
Sarasota, Florida, with Dr. Timothy Leary. Hello.
Hello, Tim.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm happy to be here with Larry and you.
Well, I'm fine. You see, I happen to be in Harvard, and you were kicked out of there.
Well, here we are linked up in the airways.
Yes, I was working with Henry Murray.
I love Professor Murray. He was my ideal, my model. He's a great, great professor. Now, ask me a question about computers.
He had absolutely no use for you, and you know it.
He loved me. Harry Murray came to my Congress of Psychology in Denmark and praised me. Weren't you there? He's a wonderful friend, and have him call up right now.
Oh, it may have been politics at the time, but you weren't very popular in his department. But I have a question.
Well, by the way, he didn't have a department. He was retired by the time I was there.
Anyway, what is your question?
Give me a question on computers.
Okay, all right. Has your program been tested anywhere, and what university, and what has been the validation of it?
It's being tested. It's being validated by thousands and thousands of people. It's not for institutions, it's for you. It's your mind mirror. So people are trying it all the time. It's being used by several psychology groups. Pepperdine College in L.A., for example, just called me today wanting me to teach a course on it. It's being used, and it's just beginning.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hello.
Yes, greetings, Larry and Tim, from the birth state of the world's greatest basketball players.
Ha-ha.
James Worthy, I guess you know.
Well, he's pretty great.
Well, he didn't play for the light, but go ahead.
A few years ago, Dr. Leary, there was a film documentary made with you and G. Gordon Liddy. Return Engagement was the title.
Yep.
And I haven't heard or seen anything about it lately, and I was wanting to get a copy for my VCR. Can you give me any info on that?
Well,
phone or write a live films in Hollywood, and they'll probably get you one. It's a wonderful film done by Alan Rudolph, and I'm very proud of it.
Thank you, Rockbridge County, Virginia, for Dr. Timothy Leary. Hello.
Yes, Dr. Leary, I know that you've done a lot of lecturing on college campuses recently, and I was wondering, it seems to be a resurrection of interest in the 60s on today's college campus. I was wondering what you might attribute that interest to.
Well, I've heard that. I'm not sure about it. I think that there are these cycles. The wonderful good things about the 60s will remain with us forever. Individuality, thinking for yourself, I'm proud of that, and hope it'll never go away.
How do you feel about the yuppies?
Well, if I had mind mirror now, I'd put the thought yuppies in there, and I'd show you exactly what I mean by it, then you could show me what you mean by it. I mean by yuppies intelligent young people that have taken charge of their life, who pursue excellence. They're free agents. They don't really count on organizations. Yes, they're gourmets. They're consumers of life in every way. They're concerned with their health. They're basically
tolerant.
But do they
care about their fellow man?
Yeah, not in the general. See, they're not as abstract and misty-eyed as we were in the 60s, but I think when it comes down to face-to-face relations, they're open-minded with minority groups, with blacks, with gays, with women. I think they're basically fair-minded people, and I want, if the yuppies aren't that way, get your act together and be, you will be, as I've told you to be, good, funny people, you yuppies.
Leary for the yuppies. Atlanta, Georgia, hello.
The devil.
Well, comment, Dr. Leary, on that extraordinary call from the devil. We've heard from the light and the devil as soon as God checks in with complete.
Is it the Rolling Stones or the Grateful Dead said, a friend of the devil is a friend of mine? I know the devil's been given a bad rap these days, but Lucifer's been around a long time. He can handle himself or herself.
Clearwater, Florida, hello.
The first question is, how do you justify your hatred for Christians?
I don't hate Christians, and again, if we had mind mirror here, I'd have you put on the screen what Christians mean to you and what they mean to me. I think Christians, my version of Christ and Christians, are they're tolerant, they're open-minded, they love all kinds of people, they hate war, and they're not Republicans. I repeat, Christ was not a Republican.
What's your second question, sir?
That's supposed to be funny.
But his description of Christians is correct, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Christians don't love everybody? They don't, sir?
Yeah, let's put it that way.
They do, don't they?
They're supposed to.
Okay, well, then he's right there. Christians are not open to the ideas of men?
Well, Timothy Leary...
Are Christians forgiving?
I was going to say, if Timothy cleared up his mind long enough and crack the Bible open, and you want to read some truth.
But the Bible loves him, doesn't it?
But God loves him, yeah.
Well, then what did he say wrong about Christians?
Pardon?
What did he say wrong about Christians?
Well, at the beginning of the show, when he came on, Leary,
he talked about the far-right fundamentalists that he didn't like, yeah.
Yeah, Bible-believing Christians, born-again type.
Well, the advantage of being a Christian, as you are, is that while Timothy Leary may not like you, you love him.
That's right.
Wonderful. And the joke is, Dr. Leary, is that the home computer is the thing you find up in the closet.
Collecting dust.
Collecting dust.
And one of the aims of my group of electronic visionaries at Electronic Arts is we want to give... There are several million people who bought computers hoping they could have some use for them, and there's not one sophisticated adult program that stretches the mind and challenges the way a good book will do. And that's one of our crusading missions. We want to put out software that'll be irresistible, and we'll pay respect to your adult sophistication.
In other words, you can take it down out of the closet again.
Yeah.
Seattle, hello.
Hi, I'm sorry for the earlier disconnect. This is Wilma. Tim, about 5 years ago when you were in Seattle, I left a package for you down where you were going to be appearing with this wooden board with 64 nails and the... got, you know, that from the foreword to Cosmic Trigger by Robert Anton Wilson. You were talking about the DNA molecule and the genetic code, and I was connecting it to the magic number square of Mercury, and I was wondering if you ever made any sense out of that.
Gee, I'm not that good at, but I'd like to, and maybe we'll get a computer software program that'll be able to do that, but I'm interested, but I'm not...
Why don't you write to, where they write to you, Tim?
Write to me in care of Electronic Arts in San Mateo, California.
Okay, we go to Mid Pines, California. Hello.
Hi. I know your screener's picking up the phone a little earlier these days. All right.
What do you mean?
Well, I you don't usually have to wait on the line as long. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, go ahead.
My questions. I've got one for each category.
We don't screen on the show. We only ask what city. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
You know what I mean. Question on the in that realm of psychoactive chemicals. Do you know Terrence McKenna, and what do you think of his?
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's the most poetic, far-thinking person I know. I just admire him. He's interested in shamanism and the use of herbs and psychoactive fruits and vegetables. He's a wonderful
person.
Okay, second question on computers. I've recently heard Theodore Roszak. He just wrote a book called The Cult of Information. And he's the first person that I've heard raise a concern that I have. He didn't put in these words. This is my own concern. For a long time, well, as a result of the Industrial Age, people came to kind of look at human beings as machine-like.
Exactly.
Now, in the computer age, my concern is that we will come to view our minds, our thought processes, as computer-like.
I'm concerned about that, too, and my answer to that is, let's not call it the computer age. Let's call it the age of psychology, or the age of mind, or the age of intelligence. I don't like the term computer. I don't use the word computer. I use software, headware, psychedelic mindware. But basically, it's intelligence I'm interested in, and it's the age of intelligence, not the age of a bunch of plastic chips.
Westchester, Ohio. Hello.
Yes, Dr. Lurie, I'd like to know, I'm sure you have knowledge or experience with the phenomenon of Kundalini, and I'd like to know what you think of it.
This is a Hindu practice which involves activating energies along your spine. I think it's a wonderful thing to do, and I'm not an expert at it, but go for it.
We go to New York City with Dr. Timothy Lurie. Hello.
Oh, Dr. Lurie, hi. An earlier call mentioned the drug ecstasy. There doesn't seem to be a wealth of literature available on this particular drug. I was wondering, firstly, if there are any known side effects, undesirable side effects, that is, that have been found to be a direct result of this particular drug. And also, I'd like to know where I could find information about studies that have been done about ecstasy.
Well, I'm not an expert on drugs, and I can't answer the first question. If you could write me in care of this station or in care of Electronic Arts, I'll try to get that information to you.
It's Electronic Arts in San Mateo, California.
It's Gateway Avenue in Gateway Drive in San Mateo, California.
Our guest is Dr. Timothy Lurie, and we go to Brooklyn, New York. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Lurie.
Hello.
I was involved with a Dr. Walter Alvarez in Chicago and a project called LSD Rescue.
Uh-huh.
And he was doing work with vitamin B12 to bring down the LSD psychosis.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if you have any of that material around anywhere and what your feelings were about that kind of research. Did you participate in it? Did you encourage it?
Yes, I encouraged it. I knew some people worked on it. He's a wonderful man, and he did a great job.
I agree. I was one of his students.
Yeah, a wonderful man, and more power to him.
And you agree that niacinamide is really a very good thing to bring?
Well, I'm not a pharmacologist, so I don't want to say anything about drugs here that would lend you to feel that I'm authority. My motto in life,
doctor, what are you going to do?
I have an extra one
fame.
Thing. My thing is that think for yourself. And I'm encouraging you to think for yourself and look up the literature. Don't look to an authority like me on it. Go out there and dig up the facts yourself and don't use any drug unless you've really done your research.
Before we take a break in our next call, what was it like for a free spirit such as yourself to handle prison?
Well, I don't want to advocate prison. I'm afraid if I say I loved it, people will go running off and getting stuff busted. My joke there was I was in solitary confinement for 2 years, and people say, Timothy, what was it like? It was wonderful. My roommate was one of the funniest guys in the world, and he kept me entertained all the time.
You did not then have a bad experience with it?
Yes, I missed freedom. I'm a free spirit, but it's all in the mind. And I was not an institutional. I was looking to escape every moment. But listen, I'm a tough, tough survivor. I can handle anything they throw at me. And I had no moments of fear. a lot of moments of regret, as any baseball player has when you've been benched or thrown in the penalty box, but I handle prison, I handle life with courage and with dignity, and we're going to win.
Minneapolis for Dr. Timothy Leary. Hello.
Oh, Dr. Leary. Glad to be listening to you tonight. How familiar are you with Alice Bailey's writings?
I've read them, and she was, I think she made a great contribution to the theory of consciousness. Was it about 50 years ago?
No, that was a little, she's a little bit more recent.
Yeah? Yeah.
They were at least in the early 70s, they were part of the consciousness expansion movement.
Some of the finest people I know were influenced well by that book, and I endorse it.
Okay, well, I'd like to read a
passage. I'm not going to have time to read a whole passage, sir. We got too many calls. Silver Spring, Maryland, hello.
Yeah, Dr. Leary, I was wondering if you could tell me if there's a big difference between the effects of psilocybin and LSD, you know, psilocybin being a natural, organic thing, and LSD being chemical.
It's all individual. You see, I must confess something else. I don't know anything about computers. I know about software. I don't know much about drugs. I know a lot about the mind. And my product, what I'm advocating, is the greatest product of all, the human brain. And how you activate or boot it up, the drugs you use, you have to figure that out. You can have bad trips with psilocybin. You can have good trips. It's such an individual situation.
Fremont, California. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Hi.
Dr. Leary, you mentioned earlier about real LSD versus street LSD.
Yeah.
And, you know, I graduated from high school in 1975, which was virtually the late era of the drug era. I went to a nice, upstanding Catholic high school, a lot of kids with a lot of money, and fortunately for us, a lot of the stuff we bought was the good stuff. I'd just like to hear your thoughts on really the distinction between, you know, people say bad trips on the street, people jumping out of windows thinking they could fly. You know, a lot of that was people who got stuff that wasn't what they thought they were buying.
You know, I was born in 1920. I was conceived in January on the very day that alcohol became illegal. So my first 12 years on this planet, I watched all of my middle-class relatives abusing a dangerous illegal drug called alcohol. Now, the problem with prohibition is you had bathtub gin and people were blinding themselves and they didn't know what they were getting, not to mention the sleazy characters in raincoats that were, the black market. The mafia really got a foot in this country because of prohibition. So, oh, this is horrible, it's terrible, and I've always been against all of this, and I said in 1963, I'll say it again, I think the government should come and educate and control it and make sure that the standards are good. I said this to Ted Kennedy, so you know what you're getting. It should be prescribed by doctors so that we know who's getting it. If you screw up, take away your license or take away your prescription and you put you in jail if you've caused trouble. But the bootleg booze and bootleg drugs are the worst thing. Stay away from them.
With Dr. Timothy Leary, somewhere in North Carolina. Hello.
This is Aberdeen, North Carolina.
Aberdeen, hi. Go ahead.
Okay, I would like to know about an article that I read in Omni Magazine a couple of months ago, and there was something about a chemical that you did, I don't know if it was like a research type thing back when you were using drugs or whatever, but it was called ketamine.
Yep.
And I had some experience with that myself, and I was just wondering if what motivated you to try that, and if you could tell me a little bit about your experience.
There's a book called The Scientist by John Lilly. Go to a library, get the reference, John Lilly, L-I-L-L-Y. The name of the book is The Scientist. It was published maybe 5 years ago. Read it. It'll tell you everything you want to know about that subject.
Is that a still-in-use drug?
I don't know. I don't think it's very useful.
Go to Pensacola, Florida for Dr. Timothy Leary. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Leary.
Hello.
Hi, I got a couple questions for you. Do you see any political and or international applications for your new program? And please enlighten the public as to the wonderful writings of Robert Anton Wilson.
Well, you just have. He's a wonderful writer, and his books, Illuminatus Trilogy and Cosmic Trigger, are in the bookstores. Get them. Yeah. I think the most political thing you can do is to give the individuals of any country an appliance that will help them think independently and creatively for themselves. This is the ultimate subversive tool. I was on a talk show yesterday, I guess it was in Boston, I forget where, and someone called in and said, "Do you realize, Dr. Larry, that what you're talking about is the most subversive thing? If people get this, they can think for themselves." And I said, "Shh, you know, don't let them know that yet. So far, it's legal." But the idea that people can learn how to think and communicate clearly is good. Here's my theory. There, can I have a second on this, Larry? Our strategy, political strategy, is this: we feel that America is suffering now from some sort of malarial fever of the brain that's making everybody superstitious and angry and paranoid. Now, don't be upset. We think we can bring the fever down. If we can raise the IQ, the intelligence level, the creativity level, the independent thinking level of America by 1%, or if we can get 10% of the American people to start thinking more clearly, we can lower this feverish, superstitious, fearful atmosphere and get America back where we should be. So the politics is the politics of intelligence and independent thinking.
You agree with the theory that the Soviet Union, there are very little, if any, home computers in the Soviet Union because they don't want people doing that.
You've got it, Larry. They're scared to have a computer there because they realize
they might even communicate with each other through computers.
You've got it. They're ahead of, they're probably ahead of the, they're so paranoid. I don't think they, I don't know who they are, but I don't think they in this country don't realize how really subversive our programs could be if we get people really putting their own thoughts on the line.
Athens, Georgia, hello.
Hi, I personally am very limited on knowledge of Dr. Leary and all of his theorems. I've read a lot of, you know, what he's had to say, and I have a lot of respect for it, but I do have a home computer, and it's not in my closet either, but I will say that Electronic Arts is, if that's who the program is being distributed by, you can bet it's going to be a hell of a program.
Why?
The Electronic Arts is really known for its user-friendly characteristic anyway. It's really simple, and they're very sophisticated, very intelligent, and that, if that, you know, is something on this, I would guess that Electronic Arts would be the person, either that or someplace like Infocom, which is another really intelligent and doesn't play down.
So in other words, Mind Mirror goes up in your mind because Electronic Arts is the distributor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they have a history of intelligence. They're trying to stretch your mind, mental fitness stuff. They did, by the way, they did the Dr. J. Byrd one-on-one basketball program. They did music construction kit. These are fantastic programs that are adult and that pay tribute and respect to the intelligent grown-up out there.
Thank you. Merchantville, New Jersey. Hello.
Hi. Thank you, Larry. Mr. T, hello.
Hello there, Mr. What's your name?
Gary.
Mr. G, how you doing?
Pretty good. Your comments, please, specifically, how can Mind Mirror and anything else that you are aware of assist Vietnam veterans, especially the combat veterans, with PTSD rehabilitation. PTSD being post-traumatic stress disorder. Just simply the fact from being there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to pretend to have any cures for agonizing problems that we all feel badly about. To the extent that these stress reactions are due to muddied thinking or confused thinking, get your thoughts on the screen. Compare your thoughts with other people. Have them compare their thoughts about a Vietnam vet versus a World War I vet or a World War II vet.
You're seeing it right in front of you.
Yeah, and then you can, when you see it there, then you will be less emotional about it, and you can clarify, and then you can change. What you can do is put your ideal Vietnam vet in there and how you'd like to be, and then start changing. Yes, I think it'll help you think more clearly and help you address your... One of the problems is that everyone's... You don't want sympathy. You want to push there. You get going. You're courageous men. Get out there and start kicking butt and thinking clearly. You can do it.
Jackson, Mississippi. Hello.
Yes, sir. Dr. Lee, I'm a history major and a lawyer from Mississippi, and I want to tell you that the Moody Blues are wrong. You're not dead. You called it 10:30 Central, and if I missed this point, I want to apologize.
G. Gordon Liddy, I believe, was one of the FBI agents that busted you in upstate New York. And if that is correct, sir, how do you feel on the fact that June 17th of 1986 would be the 15th anniversary of the Watergate break-in in which Mr. Liddy, of course, participated in? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you. Today is the anniversary. Well, that's correct.
That's wonderful. You know, I take a bit of credit of that because Liddy kept busting me and busting me and busting me, but he never caught me with anything. He caught me with, I told you, peat moss. But he did drive me out of the county because it was just too much of a hassle. Gordon, like Inspector Clouseau with his mustache in my bedroom night after night. So I moved out to California. Gordon was a hero in the county. He said, my gosh, let's promote him to the White House. So they sent Gordon off to the White House, where he then started other midnight burglaries, which are even more far out. And between the two of us, Gordon and I, like the Keystone Cops, we brought down the Nixon administration. And Gordon will confirm the basic facts if he won't enjoy my glee over this wonderful feat which we pulled off.
With Dr. Timothy Leary, the software program from Electronic Arts is Mind Mirror, Okanis, Michigan. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Leary.
Hello.
Hello. Is it true that Marilyn Monroe or Jack Kennedy came to you for advice on using LSD?
No, that's not true. It's a wonderful rumor, but it's not true.
Austin, Texas. Hello.
Hello, this is Boston.
Oh, Boston, I'm sorry.
Hello, Larry. Timothy, as a person who was politely asked not to complete the EST training because he just didn't fit in, I think I speak with some free spiritual qualification.
You mean you got booted out of EST?
I did.
Well, you naughty boy.
Indeed, it was a naughty problem indeed.
Sounds like losing your library card. Anyway, go ahead.
It was traumatic, Larry. It really was.
Yeah.
Timothy, I don't want to engage the sort of psychedelic, mythological Leary, or the even right now, the spiritual, philosophical, intellectual, or even computer Leary.
You want, don't want the electronic Leary?
No, I don't want the electronic Leary.
Now, what Leary do you want?
I just want to be present with you right at this moment, Timothy, to tell you that I like you, and that the possibilities in that are an open book, and I think that I sense that you have always had the ability to be astoundingly, astonishingly present with whatever's going on around you, and that's a clue, perhaps, to the resiliency of your vision and your fortitude in yourself, and this has been a real privilege.
Well, I'm going to send you a message. Open up your eardrums. I want your eardrums naked, and I'm going to send you a wonderful, wonderful word of thank you very much.
That was a wonderful call. Fresno, California, for Dr. Timothy Leary. Hello.
Yes, I have two questions. One, with the modern electronics, such as micro-oscillators that can be implanted under the skin of the head, and with brain entrainment and modern drugs, does Mr. Leary think that the people now can be programmed and controlled?
Well, I'm sure
that... Fair question.
There are a lot of people in big government buildings around the world that are thinking thoughts of how wonderful it would be to do that. My life is dedicated to arming ourselves with intelligence and courage so we won't let that happen. For example, I can take any drug in the world and they won't be able to phase me because I'm not afraid of any drug because I can deal with it. And most of the fears of addiction and drugs, even what they are, is a craven cowardice. What's all this stuff about America being afraid of a little piece of crack cocaine? Come on, we can lick those things. It's the American way, and we're being scared by all this propaganda. I agree with you that there are these problems, but the only defense against totalitarianism has always been, Jefferson said it too, constant vigilance and on the part of the individual. There ain't no one that can protect us against Big Brother, Big Sister, except ourselves, linked up as free agents.
Sausalito, California. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Leary. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, Sausalito's in early here. Good for you.
Yeah, I really enjoy your enthusiasm. I have a question for you. I've heard that a spiritual argument against the use of drugs in that it results in that you have multidimensional experiences through the use of drugs, but the argument is that you have no control with your own will, and that the
experience itself is unrepeatable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a comment on that?
Oh, that's a heavy, heavy theological question. You'd have to have the Pope and the College of Cardinals to... A lot of people think that the more pleasure you have and the more spiritual pleasure they have, you're draining your ecstasy account or your spiritual account. Well, or I don't really believe that. I think that more is better as long as it's intelligent and used for good purposes. So, but that's the end of my theological rap.
Spokane, Washington. Hello.
Yeah, considering your fascination in the mind, what are your personal experiences and opinions of Eastern religious practices such as Zen Buddhism?
Well, I went to India. I think everyone should take a trip over there. It's almost obligatory. I took Hinduism 1A on the banks of Ganges when I was a young man. I learned everything that I thought I could learn. I treasure the things I learned there. You got to keep moving. There's no final answer. Hinduism, by the way, would agree with that. So go over there. Try it all. Don't get hooked. Don't follow leaders. Watch your parking meters. Stay away from gurus, but try it all out.
San Francisco. Hello.
Yes, Larry, if you haven't seen that program, Larry Bird versus Dr. J, you've missed a real treat as a sports fan.
I have not seen it.
See, that's from my company, Electronic Arts, and Trip Hawkins and that group. You know, Larry Bird and Dr. J actually consulted on it and helped them with the moves.
I remember it because Bob Wolf was my agent, was Larry Bird's agent, and I remember when he told me that Bird was going to do something with Dr. J with regard to...
That's my company, Electronic Arts. They were right in there in the ADA.
You have a question?
Oh, yes. I have computer-related questions. First, Dr. Leary, do you know if Electronic Arts has set up an electronic bulletin board or conferencing system so that people who've used Mirror can easily exchange thoughts about it with one another?
We're going to do that. We hope to get it up online in July. Yeah, we're going to have people exchanging thoughts throughout the country and booting up their ideas and simulating. Yeah, we're going to definitely... By the way, people that don't understand what we're talking about, the wonderful thing about computers and communication is you can have a telephone modem, and what's on my screen can be on your screen, and I can send these electronic clusters to you, and we can be playing Mind Mirror across the country, and you can be rating me, and I can be rating you, and we can be do similar. It'll be online July or August.
One more quick question. Have you considered an additional product to Mirror, having people like historians or writers compile the thoughts of famous people and making up sort of templates for Mirror so people can compare their own reaction to the reactions of people who are famous but gone, sort of like an iconic psychic reincarnation?
Hey, you're great. To a certain extent, we've done that in Mind Mirror. 200 quotes from famous people, from Mickey Mouse to Aristotle. And our next program is we're going to loot and rape and mine the libraries of wisdom of the world. We're going to put them in there so you can play the roles and you can react with Aristotle. You can
Great.
Meet Plato. You're going to do it.
Indianapolis, hello.
Yes, Dr. Leary.
Hello.
I want to say that I also had the game Mind Adventure.
Do you have it?
Yeah, I've got that.
Well, how do you like it?
I thought it was pretty interesting.
There you go.
No, I didn't figure it out all the way. And you were talking about modems. I've gotten in some big trouble with modems and had to get out of business.
Uh-oh, were you doing naughty things with your telephone?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, well, don't...
Sprint.
I don't want to encourage you there.
as a matter of fact, that was a very... You know, right when I first got my modem, it was very... I was staying up 7-8 nights in a row.
Well, I want to warn you, remember what Matthew Broderick did, that bad boy in War Games. He almost started World War III with his little modem, his little computer, so be a good electronic girl and don't do that.
Anaheim, California, hello.
No, that's Napa, California.
Napa, yeah.
Anaheim is down in the other time.
I know where it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is Lee, Tim, and you said going back to 1967 was going back a ways. I'd like to take you back to 1947. 39 years ago, when you succeeded me as the president of the American Veterans Committee in Berkeley.
Oh, we were liberal veterans, weren't we?
And you were the best man at my wedding in December of 1947.
What's your name?
Lee.
Lee what?
Lee Roberts.
I remember it well, and with great affection, and thanks for reminding me. We were great, weren't we?
We sure were. I was wondering, Tim, do you think that your hearing problem had any factor in your going into the mind area?
No, I don't, because I got my hearing problem in World War II, and I was definitely into the mind before that, but it's a good question. By the way, write me in care of Electronic Arts, because I'd like to be in touch with you later.
You're not far away.
Nope.
What kind of hearing problem did you have?
I was in the artillery in World War II, and I got a little deafness, and then the VA gave me a new wire in my ears. Pretty good now.
New York City for Dr. Timothy Leary. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. We sent a letter to you, Timothy, to a post office box we had gotten some years ago. I don't know if it's still good or not, but it was from our temple, and the message that we were trying and are trying to send to you is that the Messiah is back in the flesh again, and he's been crucified by the government once again.
Who is it?
Well, because of the crucifixion, because of the government persecution, I have to be cautious with that.
Listen, we should be talking about this now. Send me a letter at Electronic Arts, and I'll try to answer you.
Thank you. Ridgewood, New Jersey. Hello.
Hello. First question has to do with computers. A recent television network has forecast back up in the 21st century that the computer networking in large business corporations will be able to tap into people's minds to determine the productivity of the time they spend at work. Do you see a danger in this, and also do you see this as being a possible foreseeable event?
I think there's always that danger. Bureaucrats want to control more and more. On the other hand, there's only one solution, as I've said many times in this program. We've got to get smarter than they are. We've got to manage electrons. We've got to understand our minds better, because the free thinking individual hooked up with other of his or her sort is the only hope of democracy. So get out there and get your mind hooked up to a computer. Learn how to do it yourself.
With Dr. Timothy Leary, San Francisco. Hello.
Hello, Tim.
Hello.
This is Wally.
Hi, Wally.
Good to hear your voice again, fellow.
Well, Mr. W, it's awesome to hear your voice.
The last talk about a dozen years ago or so, where we met through the courtesy of the facilities of California.
I remember.
You were working on an idea of colonizing space at that time, and I'm wondering, have you moved on from that, or do you still have an interest in that? And then I have another question.
Well, I happen to be sitting in this room right now with Dr. Carol Rosen and another dear friend who's in the space program. We're working full-time. They are, and I'm cheering them on. It's going to happen. It's going to be not for arms. It's going to be for civilian migration, and I hope I'll meet you in high orbit.
Second question.
Next question is, I'd like to have your comments on the tremendous construction program underway here in California to build more prison facilities. And I'll take my answer on the air.
Yeah, well, shit. I don't think building prisons is the answer to the crime problem, I'm not in favor.
Middletown, New York. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
A couple questions, Larry, quick on Ram Dass, Richard Alpert. His books mean a lot to me. I heard that you once made a comment that when asked about Ram Dass, that people who get into spiritualism only do so if they have a sexual hang-up. I'd like you to comment on that.
I didn't say that. I don't believe it.
What do you think about what Ram Dass is doing these days with the Death and Dying Project and all this stuff? What do you think about where his head is at these days?
Yeah, I think I've already mentioned this program. I think it's wonderful. I think he's a great inspiration. There are millions of people out there that have been influenced in the right direction by him. More power to him. He's my partner in time, and I'm all on his side. And if he's listening tonight, he knows already what I'm going to say, that we're good friends.
A couple of moments left, Dr. Leary. You regret anything you've done?
Well, you know, I operate from a standpoint of team play in sports. I struck out perhaps as much as anyone in the league. On the other hand, I've hit more home runs, or I'm right up there. I've made a lot of mistakes. But the basic trajectory in my life, I think, no matter whether you agree with me or not, you have to agree with it, is to free yourself, to think for yourself, to question authority. And I've done that, and I've made mistakes along the line. A lot of people have misunderstood me. I've let a lot of people down because I've changed perhaps too quickly. Yeah, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I don't regret the direction and the goal. It's the American way. It's the human way to try to think better.
Do you miss Harvard?
Not a bit. I was up there last week and I wandered around there. And, you know, I never wanted to be at Harvard. I'm not an institution. Some people say, gee, Jim, if you played your cards right, you'd be a full-tenured, retired Harvard professor now. And I say, yeah, no kidding. Well, thanks a lot, but no thanks.
Anything about the institutions you like?
I like institutions. I've been in them all, left to right. I love institutions. They're intelligence tests. Institutions are prisons that you have to escape from. The society has to have groups. We have to have organizations. I believe in teams and in clubs. The only thing is don't get trapped in them. The most addictive, dangerous, mind-screwing thing in the world is a conformity to an organization. Love the organization. Get the best out of it and move on to a new one. Start them yourselves, but don't get trapped.
How long has my mirror been out?
It's been out when the IBM version, it's out in the Apple, Commodore, and IBM. IBM's been out about 6 weeks. It broke all records for my company for IBM. I hope it'll do it for the Apple and the Commodore.
Great seeing you, and I thank
Larry,
you very
you're
much.
Larry, you're a pro. You're the best. A pleasure.
Dr. Timothy Leary, and again, the program is available everywhere that computer software is available. Mind Mirror, it's from Electronic Arts. Dr. Timothy Leary, it's part tool, part game, part philosophy, all on a disc. Mind Mirror, the distributor is Electronic Arts. And we thank Dr. Timothy Leary for being our special guest tonight. Again, the program is Mind Mirror. It's available everywhere computer software is sold and available through Electronic Arts. This is the Larry King Show, and this is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
It's time to say good night and good mornings. Join Larry King live each weeknight and listen to the best of King, highlights of previous shows on Sunday. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.